The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The airing of this program by this station is not an endorsement or recommendation by the station of the products or services discussed in the program. The station does not guarantee the results of any investments made by a listener to this program.
Josh Pick is the Chief Investment Advisor with Aptus Wealth Management, a state-registered investment advisory firm. This program is sponsored by Aptus Wealth Management. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles discussed should not be considered investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell financial vehicle. This information should not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with professionals to see if any ideas expressed would fit their specific situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Securities can fluctuate and when redeemed may be more or less than when originally invested.
Thanks for joining us on the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. I'm Bruce Hooley here with Josh Pick of Aptus Wealth Management. For the next half hour, we're going to be talking about investing, building toward financial independence later on in life. That's what they specialize in at Aptus Wealth Management. They're located in Lewis Center, just off Route 750, probably 10 minutes maybe from 23 and 270, so easy to get to, and they'd love to meet you and have you take advantage of the free consultation, no obligation at all, that they offer prospective clients. Go into the office, sit across from Josh and his team, talk about what you've done as it concerns saving, investing for retirement. Ask them any questions you want to about markets, about different investment vehicles. Questions that you have, any answers that you get will help you have peace of mind, help you understand situations out there better. My wife and I are clients, and we got to the point where we were not ready to retire, but on the cusp of knowing that our timetable was such that we couldn't afford to make a big mistake and have to start over or mitigate some damage that we did by making an unwise decision. It's given us great peace of mind and great returns, I might add, to be with Josh and his team and to have them on the case of allowing us to maximize our retirement investments. 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040, or make your appointment for the consultation online at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, Aptus Wealth. .com. Some of the things you talk about with people when they come in, I know as I flash back to ours, was first question seems pretty self-evident, I would think. What are you trying to accomplish? And most people, I think, would be trying to accomplish, well, I want to make as high a return as I can possibly make. But you have a reason for asking that question about the purpose of why people come in and visit with you.
Yeah, you know, money has to have purpose. If it doesn't have purpose, and you don't have a plan, then people tend to make some foolish decisions. For example, one of the questions that I also asked you that you might not remember was, if you could get a 5% rate of return or a 20% average annual rate of return, which one would you prefer? And everybody obviously always says 20.
I do remember that.
But you don't have enough information to make that decision, because if the purpose of your money is I want to make sure that I can send my kids to college in 5 years, and I say, well, great news, over the next 20 years, you'll average a 20% rate of return. Well, it might be important as to what those returns are going to look like over the next five, because you're not going to need the money in 20. You only need it in five. And similarly, you know, I think we all fall victim to comparison. You know, it's the root of all evil, but nevertheless, we fall victim to it. And what we find ourselves doing is saying, well, what's some arbitrary index up, like the S&P 500, which is a reasonably good gauge of the overall economy, being that it's essentially the biggest 500 companies in the United States. So if they're doing well, then the economy is doing well. However, does it matter how you compare to the S&P 500 in your investments? It could mean it's just an irrelevant benchmark that we like to kind of compare and contrast off of. But
if you don't have any of your money in the S&P 500, the return really doesn't matter.
Really doesn't matter. So oftentimes what we'll see, and I've seen this, you know, time and time again, when the market is up, people will use percentages. Well, I'm up 13%. When the market is down, much like the gentleman that you said in the first segment, I'm down $250,000. It turns into dollars real quick on the downside, but percentages on the up. So what I think most people are looking for is, how do I achieve my goal in the most predictable, efficient way possible? But then I also, on the upside, would like to compare against my peers at every turn.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might be an investor that goes, the mere idea of being invested in the market is terrifying to me. I mean, I would have a heart attack at a young age if I was watching all the news and all the stuff we talk about kind of in the first segment of what's going on. Some people don't want to do that, and that's okay. But if you're not going to do that, then you have to also assume that you're not necessarily going to get the same rates of return as what the S&P 500 is going to do. But what I see is that when the market goes down, it goes down 20% and you're only down 5 and you're really pretty happy about that. Yeah. Hey, we did great. But then the market goes up 20 the next year and you're only up 10. And well, was I an idiot? I don't think I did a good job, or my money manager is awful, or my financial planner is terrible, or whatever it might be. Well, let's look at the S&P 500 today. The Magnificent Seven that we talk so often about that have driven the lion's share of the investment returns comprise over a third of the overall market. So if I said when you came in, we're going to invest about half of your money in about 15 stocks, you would feel very uncomfortable with that idea, right? Unless I had a really good reason for why. But that's what people are doing unknowingly, essentially. They're saying, well, I'm going to put my money in the S&P 500 because I'm diversified. Well, you are. You have a sliver in 500 different companies, but you have a third in 7. Are you comfortable with that? Well, yeah, because it's going gangbusters. I mean, NVIDIA's up over 40% year to date. But if over a third has made that significant of a return on the way up, it can also make that significant of an impact on the way down. So again, if you don't have a purpose for your money and you don't have a trajectory in mind that suits you, one of two things could happen. Either you're going to act very irrationally at different times because you don't have a purpose attached to the money. Like, for example, well, why do you want to quit smoking? Well, I don't know. I just thought maybe I would. No, the reason that you want to quit smoking is because the purpose would be to eliminate all the health risks exactly. associated with smoking. Well, if you lose sight of that and you just really like smoking, why would you ever quit? Well, if you're investing and you go, why are you investing? Well, I just want to have a big net worth. Well, either that makes a big difference. I mean, that really means a lot to you. But if you don't, or you don't have a purpose, in which case you're going to get derailed by these emotional decisions. And, you know, number two would be, are you taking too much risk trying to get that where you're not going to reach your goals because you actually had a 5-year goal, but you're investing like you had a 30-year one?
Interesting perspective. And that's what you get when you sit with Josh and the Aptus team, 614-917-1040. Most people, I would answer just, I want to get the highest return I possibly can. But he just demonstrated why that's not the right question and certainly not the right focus to have when you go in. I thought it was interesting you said people come in and you asked them, you know, are you investing for your kids' college education? I think most people picture what you do as the grading comes like 20 years down the road when I retire or 30 years down the road when I retire. Do a lot of people have those interim type goals that they set for themselves and then ask you to help them get there?
Yeah, there's a myriad of goals. You know, oftentimes the people that we see predominantly are getting, much like you said, you and Sherry were in the situation of, you know, we're not ready to retire yet, but we're getting close enough that we don't want to make mistakes. So, you know, our average client is over the age of 55. I think some stats, I can't remember the exact stat, but something like 95% of our clients are over the age of 55. But does that mean you couldn't have a short-term goal even in that category? You know, definitely younger families are looking at different things. But, okay, well, my short-term goal is I'd really like to have a vacation home in the next 5 years. I plan on working for the next 7. Well, then it sounds like we have a short-term goal, even though you're probably primarily focused on your retirement goals.
So things happen. I mean, like you're sitting across from a guy who came to work on his birthday and had a medical situation develop that I didn't see coming. And a lot of investments have age requirements or stipulations on when you can withdraw your money. And, you know, the old saying, life comes at you fast. Sometimes there are things, this thankfully was not the case in our personal situation. But I'm sure you have encountered clients who have a plan and they had a purpose and they had a timetable. And then, hey, life happened and something came up and they need access to their money. But, oh, by the way, you can't withdraw your money here until this age. You can't withdraw your money here until this age. How hard and fast are those and how fluid can they be if an emergency situation comes up?
Yeah, sometimes the devil's in the details and you need to know all of these details or at least work with somebody who does. Like, for example, we use the ones that probably people are most familiar with. When you're talking about these deferred plans like 401ks, 403bs, IRAs, etc., for the most part, we're all familiar with that magic number, 59.5.
Mm-hmm.
If you take your money out pre-59.5, you will get hit with what's called an excise tax, which is a 10% penalty. If you want to kind of quantify that, well, if you're paying, you know, state taxes and fed taxes, you're in the 22% tax bracket, and then another 3 to 4 in state. All right. Well, that's 26%,
yeah,
roughly.
Ouch. Yeah.
Add another 10 on that. I mean, that's another third on that's a 30% roughly tax beyond what you were going to pay. So it's a pretty important tax. Are there ways around it? Yes. And not all of what I just said is even handled equally. For example, if you retire, you can get money out of your 401k at 55 with no penalty. But if you retire, you cannot get your money out of an IRA at 55 with no penalty.
Hmm.
So you retire, you go to your local financial planner and he says, what should we do? And selfishly, he says, well, we should move all the money into an IRA because, well, that's how I get paid. My fiduciary responsibility tells me, well, I'd love to get paid on it. But at the same time, we need to make sure if you're 55 that we have at least 4.5 more years worth of income left.
Mm-hmm.
In your 401k, so we don't have to pay penalties. And there's other options. For example, you can do these crazy things called a 72T. 72T says, even out of an IRA, I can get money out of my IRA without paying that penalty as long as I follow certain guidelines. And those guidelines are put out by the IRS. But what that means is you have to take the money for at least 5 years or until you're 59.5, whichever's longer. So you could theoretically retire at 40,
sure,
and get money out of your IRAs and your 401ks without paying a penalty. You just got to follow some guidelines. So, you know, all these different types of investment products, again, a purpose for your money. Why are you putting the money in there? But remember we said in the first segment, diversification of not only your assets in the way of what your investments are, but in the way of tax qualification. It's important to not have all of your money in one spot, because if you do, well, then you're going to have to follow. I just told you there's only really two ways around it.
Yeah.
Well, if those two ways don't work for you, well, then I guess you're just going to keep working because there's not much you can do.
Yeah. If it sounds complicated, folks, I mean, it sounds complicated to me. That's why, as I always say, one of the benefits of going in and meeting with Josh, becoming an Aptus client, is that you have peace of mind, because even if you don't understand it, and he does a great job of explaining it to you, he understands it. That's the important part of it. And these kinds of things that, you know, he'll explore in your conversation bring things out that can potentially eliminate fires that could crop up later because, well, I didn't think, as a client, you're sitting there thinking, well, I didn't think this had anything to do with investments. I didn't think this had anything to do with my retirement. It turns out it does. You just aren't aware of it, but Josh is aware of it, and that's why, you know, he's really good at what he does. And the other part of it is, as he mentioned, he's a fiduciary. He's legally obligated to do what's best for you. So set up your consultation, 614-917-1040. Can you come in? Can you go through the meetings? And can you walk out and not forge a relationship? Yes, absolutely. Right? I mean, like this, when you say no obligation, you definitely mean it.
Yeah, well, we're not a fit to everybody. So sometimes, you know, clients will say, this isn't really the direction I want to go. And unfortunately, sometimes we'll say, we're not a good fit. And that's okay. I can't promise that we're going to end up working together. What I can promise is that you will learn something throughout the process that will be beneficial and it won't be time wasted.
When you were talking about the outs, the escape hatches, if you will, on certain investments, and they may have an age limit on withdrawal, it struck me that when people come in, let's say somebody comes in and they got their priorities really aligned and they're in front of you at age 30. And the conventional wisdom would say, well, you know, stock market over time is up, it's up, it's up, it's up, it's up, you know, maybe not year to year, but it's over time, it's going to be up. Let's put all your money in stocks. But that may not be, there may be a reason why you want to diversify at a younger age, because if you have all your money someplace where you can't get your hands on it until a certain point in time, and the stock market wouldn't be one of those places, but somebody who would come in and go, I'm risk averse. I just want to put all my money in, you know, this vehicle. And there's some kind of reason why that might make sense or might not make sense to put it all in that one vehicle.
Yeah. I mean, a perfect example is today, you know, fixed annuity rates. And by fixed annuity, I mean an annuity that essentially resembles a CD. So you can get a fixed annuity today that is a 5 to 7 year guaranteed rate that's north of 5%. Well, as we're sitting here looking at, you know, money market rates that are over 5, but there's a lot of rate cut conversation on the horizon. You know, the concept of you can't get a CD paying 5.25 or 5.5 for a guaranteed 5 to 7 years. So maybe that's the choice for me. I'm going to do that. I don't need the money for 5 to 7 years. One problem. While you get tax deferral out of a fixed annuity, that 59.5 number starts creeping back in again. And unless I'm 59.5, I can't get it. So if you're 30, you're saying, well, I want to get the highest rate and I'm going to use that in 5 years. Well, that's not the right choice for you, with one exception. If we know that there's a 10% penalty, but we're making 20% more than all the other rates, maybe paying the penalty actually makes sense.
Yeah.
And there's other ways. Again, we were talking about 72T is how you get money out of an IRA without paying the penalty. Well, with annuities, you can do something called 72Q, which is the same line in the tax code, to get out of the penalty too, but that might not fit your situation. So I think, you know, the takeaway here is, and I bet if you're listening right now, and I said I'm going to give you two choices, you can either earn a 15% rate of return this year or a 5% rate of return, but save 10% in taxes. Everybody would rather be able to stick it to the government a little bit and get the same 15, but get it by saving taxes. We all just have this kind of incumbent, inherent desire to not pay any more taxes than we're supposed to. So the objective here is, let's not just focus exclusively on rate of return. Let's focus on what is the purpose of the money. How much of the rate of return do I get to keep after taxes? Because it's not what you make, it's what you keep.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's in a rap song somewhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the most critical pieces of this. It's not just purely what kind of rate of return can you get me? That's a very small piece of the puzzle.
So these are questions you'll be asked, and these are questions that Josh will explain answers to when you go in and sit for your free, no-obligation consultation at Aptus. They're located in Lewis Center, not far from 23 and 270, right off Route 750, 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040, to set up your consultation today. Yes, they have a website. Yes, you can make your appointment online. Web address is aptuswealth, A-P-T-U-S, aptuswealth.com. One of the things that I liked when we came in was that you're not married to one type of investment, and you presented us various options, and you certainly presented, like, here's the really aggressive tack, here's the tack that you thought might be more in line with what we stated our risk tolerance was. How much do people come in and think about the consequences? Maybe that's too strong of a word. On the back end of their investment, in terms of, okay, what kind of tax penalty is there going to be? What kind of, when can I get access to my money? All those kinds of things. I know that's your responsibility, and I know you, you know, you make people aware of that. You don't expect them to know that, but I just wonder, when you're having conversations with people during their consultation, if that's a concept they've even thought of.
Not nearly enough is the answer, but if they have thought of it, typically what they've thought of is kind of the big bucket type approach to it. Like, I know that my IRA is tax deferred, but at some point I'm going to have to pay taxes. I really wish I would have done more of a Roth so I wouldn't be in this position. But there's a flip side to that. When they ask this question, it kind of comes to light pretty quickly. They say, well, how many different portfolios do you have? And I say, well, I mean, like 30. Why do you have 30? You said, you just told us that you have kind of like 5. Well, we have 5, but if you look at the way they're tax managed, it grows very, very quickly. And I'll give you an example. When we focus on taxes, again, broad brushstrokes, we're thinking IRA versus just cash money that I made that I already paid taxes on, which is called non-qualified, by the way. Or we're thinking about, how is an annuity taxed, or how is this taxed? But let's just talk about how investments are taxed in a non-qualified account. If you buy an individual stock, we all know there's something called long-term capital gains. And we know that that's good, because long-term capital gains rates are less than what income tax rates are.
Yeah, and people have a visceral opposition to that, capital gains, but that means you've gained. You know, you've made money.
Absolutely. And I think that there's an argument all the time about, well, is long-term capital gains rates going to go up or go down? Remember who makes the rules, and remember who owns a lot of stocks. I have a feeling that it will always be, to some degree, less than overall income tax rates. But how do you pay capital gains rates? Well, you have to hold a stock for over a year before it becomes a long-term capital gain. So what happens prior to that? It's just ordinary income tax. So if you buy a stock today and you sell it in a week, no matter what you made on it, you're going to pay ordinary income taxes on that. If you hold it for a year, well, then you might only pay 15 or 20% in taxes on that. So if I buy an individual stock, I can control that. Well, what if I buy a mutual fund? Well, how do I know how often they're selling stocks? It's something called turnover ratio. So if you look at your fund today and you're looking at all this fancy nerd talk and, you know, we have standard deviation, all these different ratios. If you look at, you know, go to Vanguard or any of them, they will have something called turnover ratio. And if your turnover ratio is zero, it means that they hold stocks throughout the entire year, mm-hmm. which means you're only paying long-term capital gains. However, if their turnover ratio is 100%, you might think you're only paying long-term capital gains, but that means that every stock they buy, they sell within 12 months. So you're paying ordinary income taxes. Well, is that important? I would say so, because if I make a 10% rate of return and I pay 4% in that in taxes versus only paying 2%, you know, 2% of my 10 in taxes, well, I made an extra 2%. So there's a couple ways you can handle that. One is you invest in mutual funds with low turnover ratios. Two, you buy the individual stocks, because then you can really control when you buy and sell the stocks. Or three, you buy something called an ETF, which is much like a mutual fund, but it's an exchange-traded fund. And tax laws are different for ETFs, which means they can do whatever they want in the way of buying and selling stuff inside of my ETF, but my ETF sells like a stock. So if you're getting confused already, I apologize, because we've kind of gotten deep in the weeds here. But I think the takeaway here is, you should not invest money outside of your IRA the same way you invest money inside of your IRA or your 401k, which means they should have different strategies.
Sure.
Now, they can have the same strategy in the way of I want them to be both growth-oriented, but you might invest in completely different things. And then furthermore, I would argue that if I know that my non-qualified dollars are more tax-efficient, well, I'd like that to be the biggest part of my portfolio, not the one that's just sitting out here waiting for the taxes to be paid on it in the form of my IRA. Well, if I know that, and I want to be 50-50, let's say, safe to aggressive, well, I don't have to be 50-50 in my IRA and 50-50 in my other one. Why don't I go 50 of the safe stuff in my IRA and the other 50% of the aggressive stuff in the other one? Because I'd rather have one bigger than the other.
Sure, sure. People sometimes, if they know much about mutual funds at all, they know that some are, you know, no-load funds. They're not no fee for buying them. And some, they charge a fee to buy them. Does that have anything to do with their turnover ratio, they're managed?
It does not, but it certainly has an impact on their overall rate of return. So it's very important. And these are kind of the, you know, there's a lot of commercials that I kind of found funny, although grossly over-exaggerated. You know, the guy that's DJing on the weekends, yeah. And then he puts a suit on and he goes, you know, this is your broker. Well, I think what they're really addressing there is, do you know who you're dealing with? And do you know what you're buying? And I think, you know, large in part, people know they need stocks as part of their puzzle, but they don't really investigate how they acquire those stocks. Mm-hmm. And what you're talking about is a loaded mutual fund. You can pay upwards of 5.75% in just a sales charge to get into a mutual fund, or you can pay zero. It's kind of up to you, but it depends on which share class you buy, whom you work with, how they're compensated. And of course, everybody that's in my position is going to be compensated to some capacity. We're not non-for-profits, but there is some ability for the investor to determine how they pay somebody. And as a fiduciary, I believe that the best way to pay somebody is make sure that you're on the same side of the table. If you make more money, they make more money. If you make less money, yep. They make less money. Not they make money right up front and they don't even care if you're alive or dead.
Yeah, that makes total sense to me. And that's what the epitome of a fiduciary responsibility, doing what is best for the client. That's what they are at Aptus. As we end, just I'm curious, there are all kinds of investment vehicles, new ones coming on all the time. We talked at the beginning of the show about conflicting headlines in this. You've done this for quite some time, more than 20 years. Is this one of the more difficult times to do what you do and get the kind of returns that your clients are looking for? Or is it always challenging, and maybe just because we're currently in the situation and it's an unknown situation, that's my perception of why it would be harder?
Yeah, the challenge of the unknown is always an issue. So I would say, you know, from a perspective of finding the right mix of investments to be in, it's always difficult. However, we have more options today, much like, you know, the internet revolutionized mm-hmm. everything that we do, and AI is going to continue to revolutionize that. The industry is continually, overhauling and revolutionizing. So there's more options available, which is a good thing. But much like the internet, if you try and find out information, you never know if what you're reading is fact or fiction, although it's displayed as fact. With investments, there's more options, but there's also more holes to fall in if you don't know how to decipher which options make sense.
Yeah, there's no shortage of information out there. The problem is it good information? Is it accurate information? And that's why I gain peace of mind from having someone like Josh taking care of my investments, someone who I know is legally obligated to do what's best for me. Set up your consultation, 614-917-1040, no obligation at all, or Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. Thanks, Josh.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. I'm Bruce Hooley here with Josh Pick of Aptus Wealth Management. Aptus is located in Lewis Center, just off Route 750, and they offer you a free consultation. Would you like to get some peace of mind, some information, some good information, some accurate information, information you might need as you hopefully prioritize saving, investing, not just saving, but investing and working toward financial independence and retirement? That's what they specialize in at Aptus. I'm an Aptus client, a very happy Aptus client, and I didn't become an Aptus client until I sat with the consultation with Josh and his team. And that didn't happen for the first couple years that I knew Josh because, as I say all the time, it's not a low-pressure environment. It's a no-pressure environment. I initiated the conversation. And so, you know, Josh is very successful, and he does not go out and stand on a street corner and spin a sign to get people to come in. But through word of mouth and through the returns that he gets people, he has many, many, many clients. And perhaps you and Josh would be a fit. So no better way to find that out than by sitting for the free consultation. 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040. And they don't just have one strategy there. They have many strategies. That's why they call it a blueprint. And so you can set that up also online by going to Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. And I'm sure you inherit clients, Josh, who have been involved in investing in retirement at other places or on their own, like Sherry and I were. And you may, as you assess what they have done, come across investment choices that they have made that at the time were at least well-planned or well-thought-out strategies that may not be good strategies now. And that's a lot of times because market conditions change and returns change. And I'm thinking of somebody who maybe years ago put money aside and invested it in an annuity contract or in some other investment vehicle that made a lot of sense because of the percentage return that they were guaranteed to get. But now those interest rates have changed and market conditions have changed. How do you navigate those waters and getting people out of something into something better?
It happens all the time. And sometimes well-intentioned decisions and not necessarily at the fault of the previous advisor. You know, hindsight's 20/20. We look at things and go, why did we do that? Maybe it was a good choice at the time, but unfortunately, you know, since you use the term annuity, unfortunately, a lot of annuity contracts are sold by exclusively commission-based agents. So what happens is you sell that annuity, and let's say it has a 10-year duration. And by duration, I mean you have to leave your money in that annuity for 10 years, mm-hmm. or there's going to be some sort of penalty to pay to get out. Well, I got, you know, the agent gets paid his upfront commission right out of the gate and then kind of just goes into no man's land. You never hear from that person until the 10 years is up and wants to talk about doing a new one. So you're kind of left holding the bag when in reality, you know, annuity contracts can be managed. Most annuity contracts allow for 10% liquidity every single year without any penalty. So, you know, without doing a lot of work, you could say I could get 10% out every year to kind of dollar cost average back into higher rates. Certain annuity contracts have provisions in them that kind of protect the insurance company at your detriment, but sometimes that backfires on the insurance company depending upon what interest rates do. Mm-hmm. So there can be, you know, ways to get out during that penalty period, even to your benefit rather than your detriment, depending upon what's going on with market conditions. There's a lot of ways that you can kind of manage that process, but I think the takeaway is all is not lost. When I talk to folks, oftentimes they just look purely at, well, this was a 10-year deal, and that means I have to stay in for 10 years.
Yeah.
And conversation over. Oftentimes, I'll tell people they have access to 10% every single year, and they go, well, I thought it was a 10-year deal. Well, it is a 10-year deal. The rules span for 10 years. But another rule is you're allowed to get 10% out every year, and you can have both at the same time. And I think, you know, when you start talking annuities, particularly when you get into fixed indexed and variable annuities, there's a lot of nomenclature involved there. There's a lot of details. It can be really, really confusing. And if you've ever tried to read through an annuity contract, you know, it'll cure insomnia. It's long. It's brutal. It's, you know, a lot of algorithms are written in there. It's difficult to follow. So I don't blame anybody. You know, if we just looked at a variable annuity, for example, and I said, what are the fees that are associated with it? Well, you have a mortality and expense fee. You might have an admin fee. You might have a rider fee for a death benefit, a living benefit, or even a return of premium. You're going to have your mutual fund fees, but they're actually called subaccounts instead of an annuity. And then you're going to have your duration, which might have a contingent deferred sales charge fee. And you go, I don't even know what I bought anymore, right? So if nothing else, we can serve as a way to explain. We start with, this is what you actually have. Now, two, remember, we talk all the time about money has to have a purpose. When you purchased this, what was the purpose? And does that purpose still exist? Because it's okay to make... Term insurance is a perfect example. Term insurance has a purpose. Mm-hmm. I was young. I wanted to cover my family for a finite period of time. And now my kids are all out of the house. It doesn't serve a purpose anymore. So I'm going to get rid of it. Doesn't mean it was a bad idea to purchase 20 years ago.
Right.
Similarly with annuity contracts, there might have been a very logical reason why you did it. Doesn't mean that the reason still exists. And just know that there are ways that you can improve your situation. You just have to know what you have and know what your options are.
Well, and I think most people probably if they're like me, if they tie up their money for a certain period of time, what I know is how long do I have it tied up for and what kind of rate of return am I going to get? I don't know, probably don't know. I might know if I had to pay a fee up front, I might know that, but I certainly don't know those other numbers, and I'd have to head to the medicine cabinet and grab the Tylenol if I tried to make sense of it myself. That's why it is, in my opinion, definitely worth it to have a professional investment counselor, a fiduciary, somebody who's legally obligated to do what is best for you, handling investments. I don't want to handle that anymore. I don't want to worry about making a big mistake, making a mistake I can't come back from. That's what they specialize in at Aptus. They are fiduciaries. They do what is best for you. They're legally obligated to do that, and you can set up your consultation to learn more about that and to do a checkup on your investments. 614-917-1040. 614-917-1040. Their web address is aptuswealth.com, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. They're located in Lewis Center. Yes, if you're outside the area, you can become a client. But they'd prefer, if possible, if you're in the area, sit for your consultation. But they do all kinds of interactions with clients digitally. That's one thing that we have from the pandemic is the commonality of doing a lot of business on Zoom. But if possible, for that consultation, sit in the office. And what you'll find is that they don't have one particular vehicle. And you mentioned a word when you were talking about the annuity contract that, you know, might not be performing now like it was before. You mentioned commissions and you mentioned fees. And that's what I think people hear that. They go, take people through. You, I'm sure, have vehicles that have them and you have vehicles that don't. Should people be nervous when they hear fee, when they hear commission? Or, you know, are they reacting to something that maybe they have an emotional reaction to, but they don't have a fact-based basis for their emotional reaction to it?
I think both can be true at the same time. I think anytime you look at fees, commissions, you should be concerned because those fees and commissions are coming out of your money. Mm-hmm. So you should be just like you should be concerned. And what's the price of eggs? Well, just because the price of eggs is X doesn't mean it's not a good deal. It just depends on how much you like eggs, I suppose.
Yeah.
Right. Well, similarly, a lot of these fees and commissions are four things that you would really like. But oftentimes they slap fees on for these additional riders that you don't fit your purpose of your money. So you're paying for things that you don't need. Well, that doesn't make sense. Commissions, of course, you know, you're paying somebody to work with them. It's a matter of whether or not it's an equitable exchange. If you're only making 1%, but the commission is 10%, this is not an equitable exchange. The person that's selling you this product is making more than you are. That doesn't make any sense. So that's why it's so critical, I think, to work with a fiduciary, because fiduciaries have to disclose all of this information. Mm-hmm. So you can make a judgment call on what actually makes sense for you. Where if you work with a broker, a lot of the information that we're laying out here is not required to be disclosed to you in an easy manner. So for example, remember that contract I told you about?
Yeah.
You're going to get a contract. I can tell you I've been doing this for 25 years. I've had maybe 3 people ever read it because it's so cumbersome that you wouldn't do it. But if you're a fiduciary, you have to line item out all of those details kind of in cliff notes, an easy digestible, you have to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't explain it to you in a way to understand, now I'm liable. not the insurance company, not you, but me. So it's critical that you just get on a level playing field. Now, I'll be the first to admit that if you ever see me on the side of the road with my hood up on my car, it's just because I'm trying to block the sun until the AAA gets there, whoever the tow truck. I don't think you need to be a financial expert any more than I need to be a mechanic. But I think you need to learn enough that if I drop my car off at the mechanic and I say, you know, the lights aren't coming on, and he says it's because you need new tires, I need to at least have enough understanding of how a car works to know that I'm not getting a fair deal here.
Yeah, right? Yeah, something suspicious.
So I at least need to know that, you know, batteries cause lights and alternators, but I don't even know how to fix it. Well, similarly, when it comes to financial products, it's my job to educate you enough to understand that batteries cause electricity and not tires.
Yeah, and I've said that many times. That's what really put Sherry and I at ease, was going in and sitting with Josh, is that we felt like we really understood planning and strategizing toward our retirement, not just investing and hoping. That peace of mind, I can't put a price on it. You make your own judgment, but you won't be able to make that judgment unless you sit for the consultation by calling 614-917-1040. And what I've learned, too, through interacting with you over the last couple of years is that insurance companies, I thought they were just there in case, you know, a loved one died or I wrecked my car or something like that. They deal in investments, and banks deal in investments. And I knew that, CDs and stuff like that. But I wonder how much of that landscape is changing now, because we occasionally hear, oh, like this little bank is being gobbled up by this bank, or, you know, I assume they're gobbled up because they're attractive, they have a good balance sheet, or they're being gobbled up because the opposite of that is true. I see headlines recently that since 2020, more than 100 banks have closed offices in and around Ohio, and not a lot of them have started elsewhere. We have a bank that just opened in my area that's a nice, big, impressive building. I don't think there are any people in there working. I think it's all like automated. So how much of bank closures and how much of that industry is changing, and is it changing for the good of customers and for the good of investors?
I believe large in part it's changing for the good of customers. Now, obviously, if you worked at a local bank and the bank got closed, it's not good for you that you used to work there. But competitiveness is really picked up now that interest rates have picked up. If you remember back when we first started raising interest rates, I started saying, if you're not getting at least 3% in your savings account, you need to start looking around. If you're not getting 4%, if you're not getting 5%, and now we're all the way up into, you know, north of 5% as far as money market rates go. But people would tell us all the time, yeah, but my bank's still paying me 10 basis points. They're still paying me 0.25%. How do I fix that? Well, the way that you fix it is you leave that bank and you go to another bank. And non-brick and mortar banks have become increasingly popular. And by non-brick and mortar, I mean banks that don't have a location. It's just an online bank. You go online, you set up the, and these are not small banks, by the way. You know, you can go to Goldman Sachs or Citibank or all the, I challenge you to find a Goldman Sachs bank, retail bank anywhere in Columbus. It doesn't mean it's a crummy little small bank. It just means they don't have retail locations where you can go deposit your check. So you're able to take a picture of your check with your phone, direct deposit it to the bank, and get 2 to 3 times as high an interest rate at a very economically viable, good, strong quality bank. Now, I think that's going to become increasingly popular as the younger generation continues to get more and more comfortable with that. You know, you and I were kind of talking offline. You said, I feel, am I really that old man?
I said, old man. It's like old man issue. Like, I'm terrified of that. Like, does that really work? Like, how do you deposit a check without taking it into a physical location?
And I told you that I try and go to a bank no less than every 3 months, right? Or no more than every three months. So, you know, I'm obviously comfortable with that. Now, with that is going to come challenges associated with online banking, meaning how do we make sure that this information's all encrypted? How do we make sure that there's no data leaks? How do we ensure that we're not getting fraudulent checks? The list kind of goes on and on. But it does not surprise me that small regional you know, bank branches are going to be closing at a significant rate, or at least getting smaller.
So when people hear that, and if they're in my generation, my guess is that that certainly raises the two scariest words that I think now are pretty common, and that's identity theft. I'm not sure that anybody's identity is as secure as they really think it is, but in the investing world, is it I don't know, common, possible, whatever the word is, however the question can best be phrased, there are a lot of sophisticated thieves out there. And I just kind of wonder, like, I know people are going to be nervous about identity theft and losing their nest egg, their retirement, their investment, as we convert to more and more digital banking. Maybe that's irrational. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's more secure that way than it was before. But how do you address that with clients when they bring it up?
Yeah, I think large in part, your money that you have, you know, let's think about identity theft with your credit card. If somebody steals your credit card information and goes and buys something, the credit card company, at least all the credit card companies I can think of, will make you whole.
Mm-hmm.
They have a coverage against that. So is it an increased risk for the credit card company? Absolutely. Is it increased risk for you? Not really.
No.
Banking will be the same and investments are the same. So, for example, we clear through Schwab. We're required to have cybersecurity policies. Schwab backs up your money up to a certain degree. So are you ever going to get ripped off? No. But Schwab can be ripped off very, very significantly. Where I see the kind of sophisticated identity theft things coming in is actually just through email fraud.
Mm.
For example, I probably on a daily basis get DocuSigns from an email address that looks very legitimate. Until you click on it, it'll say from Schwab. They know somehow they figured out that we do business with Schwab. You forgot to do this DocuSign, sign here, sign here. But if you click on the email address, it's from, you know, xyqrp@gmail.com. Those are very easy to get tricked on. Or, for example, I'll get an email from an email extension that's somebody who works for me and says, I just need to change my direct deposit information. Please send over the form to do so. And if you click on the email address, it's off by one number. They somehow mirrored the email. These are very, very sophisticated and very, not sophisticated, but very difficult to keep up with. You know, I kind of went off on a tangent, but I think my takeaway here is identity theft, and I have tons of clients that work in cybersecurity at very significant banks. It's a huge problem for banks. It's a huge problem for them trying to navigate it. But I don't think that there's a significant risk to the end customer, i.e. you and I.
How schooled is law enforcement at protecting the authenticity of people's money, whether it's through the banking system, through retirement accounts, things like that?
Well, first, I'd like to say that, you know, I'm a huge advocate of law enforcement.
Yep, so am I.
However, if you look at kind of everything that law enforcement does, we try and be proactive as possible, but it's kind of like prisoners in a prison. They have all day to think about how to manipulate the prison.
Yeah.
And usually the law enforcement is behind the curve to some degree, and then they make adjustments. And that's what we're seeing in cybersecurity is there's all these new strategies and we're trying to figure out where they're going. It's like coming up with a flu shot, right? Mm-hmm. What's going to be the popular flu this year? We don't really know. We don't always get it right, but we're anticipating what it could be. And unfortunately, there's just cybersecurity or identity theft rather is amongst us. It's never going away. Unfortunately, the easiest populace of people to prey on is the older generation. So, you know, the idea of financial elder abuse is what they call it is just, I mean, it's on the rise. And with baby boomers retiring every day, that's just going to become a bigger and bigger. I hate to call it an industry, but that's kind of what it's become.
Yeah, no doubt about it. If you'd like to ask these kinds of questions, if you'd like to gain understanding in these kinds of matters, you can do that during your free no obligation consultation with Josh and the Aptus team, 614-917-1040 to set that up. They're located in Lewis Center, right off Route 750. Very easy to get to. Plenty of parking, free parking. 614-917-1040. 614-917-1040. We're a few months out from presidential election. There's always, no matter how a presidential election goes, if there's a change in administrations, a change in monetary policy, tax policy, something that affects investments and retirement. So, what should clients be doing now? Because we might have a change coming in January of 2025. We might not. Are we too close for people to make moves? For people like you who assess these conditions to adopt a strategy that's maybe different than people have had before because they come to you as a new client. How do you address that question when it comes up? Is like, what do you plan for, Josh? Because are you planning on this party getting reelected, or are you planning on a new party coming to power?
Yeah, I think you have to have a primary, contingent, tertiary, no different. You were talking about law enforcement, and when they go do, you know, if they're going to go serve a search warrant or something like that, they have to cover kind of all the what ifs.
Yeah.
They don't just blindly run in the front door and go, hope this plays out. Well, similarly, you know, you have to come up with a plan with what if the incumbent gets elected? What if he doesn't? What if Congress is controlled by this side?
That's another aspect.
What if Congress isn't? What if the Fed does, in fact, lower interest rates in May? What if they don't? And you got to kind of invest accordingly. Now, when I say that, a lot of people go, oh, so you're just going to invest 50 on one side and 50 on the other, and I'm just going to end up getting zero every single time. That's not the case. It's not directly proportional. But let me give you an example. You could say, well, I think that the stock market is going to continue to run. But what if it doesn't? Well, another person could say, I think it's going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if it doesn't? So, you know, if you just looked at that in a kind of in a wind tunnel and said, what are my choices? Well, here's your choice. Put your money in the S&P 500. If it goes up, you win. If it goes down, you lose. So whoever you are on which side of that coin, you're either going to be right or wrong, but that's the only two choices.
Yeah, baked into the cake.
Or you could say, I think there's enough economic uncertainty out there that I'm not willing to put all my chips on either side, because I also think that there's enough good reasons why the market might go up. And I'm just too close. I'm on the 5-yard line of retirement planning. I have a 401k today. I don't want to have a 201k 3 years from now, and then I have to decide if I'm going to work longer. So I would like to put some training wheels on that approach. So if the market goes up, I'd like to, you know, have the potential to earn 15 to 20% of it. If it goes down, I'd like to be insulated to get against a certain amount of drop. I'd be willing to assume an 8 or 10% fall, but no more than that. That would derail me. You can structure an investment to do just that. And I think that's what people don't really realize. And when I say that, people go, that sounds too good to be true, or how do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
It's not new. It's not a new concept. It's just that up and downside seems to be in a very good cycle right now in the market, where you can get a lot of upside and still get a lot of downside protection, where oftentimes in the past, because of where interest rates were and volatility, you know, you were giving up so much of the upside that it probably didn't make sense.
Yeah, and that's one of the vehicles that was attractive to Sherry and I. And the other part of it is, too, if you're on the cusp of retirement, like I'm looking at some vehicles in the past that have not given people much of a return. We've chatted about the inverted yield curve, which basically means the it's good for people to have their money tied up for a shorter term than a longer term, and that condition doesn't prevail forever.
No, and we're finally narrowing that gap, which is good. You know, I think historically speaking, there hasn't been a time in history where there's been an inverted yield curve where the market hasn't declined significantly until, well, now, we could argue, right? But the closer and closer we get to being rewarded for leaving our money somewhere for a longer period of time, the better for the overall economy and the better for you. So we're getting there, but we're still seeing, you know, the best CD rates seem to be about 6 to 9 months. They're not, you can't get any more for 12 to 24 months. So this is all the challenges that we're facing when we're looking at retirement planning. What if interest rates go down? Well, that's good for bonds, but what if we don't go that direction? What if we go up? That's bad. What do I do? What about CDs? I just want to put some money in safe, but in 6 months, I'm going to have to reevaluate this and I might not be able to make the same amount of money. Man, the stock market's at all-time highs. There's all these decisions, and again, that's where you come up with your primary, secondary, tertiary. What can we do to take advantage of all scenarios?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are a ton of options out there. You know, we've hit pretty much all of them today. Treasuries, there are bonds, there are stocks, there are annuity contracts. Rest assured, they do not have one preferred vehicle at Aptus. You'll have the array of options in front of you. Josh will discuss it with you in a way that you can understand it. Then the choice becomes, which blueprint course do you choose? We had several options. That's an individual decision. 614-917-1040 to set up your free consultation. 614-917-1040. You can also make your appointment online at aptuswealth.com, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. Not far from 23 and 270, right off Route 750. The show replays on Saturday at noon. Josh joins me Monday at 12:30 for Money Monday. Josh, thanks for your time. Good to talk to you.
You as well. Thanks.
The airing of this program by this station is not an endorsement or recommendation by the station of the products or services discussed in the program. The station does not guarantee the results of any investments made by a listener to this program.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.